Welcome to the radio ministry of Albertville First Baptist Church. We invite you to join us each Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB. For more information about the ministries of First Baptist Church or to listen to previously recorded messages, please visit albertvillefbc.church. If you do not have a church home, please join us for worship this Sunday at 8:30 a.m. or 10:30 a.m. We hope you are blessed by today's broadcast. We are in for a special treat. I love this group. This is our preschool worship ministry group, and they meet on Wednesday nights at 6 p.m., and they are led by Miss Ramona, and they are also, sorry. But we are just thrilled to have everybody here this morning. They're going to be sharing two songs with you. So as you know, this group, all is fair game. So we never know what's going to, but it's going to be a great time. Let's worship with them this morning, okay? Kids, one more hand, huh? How about that?
did a great job. So Ramona meets with them on Wednesdays. Peggy Williams helps them out. And look, they do a super job. If you have a child that would like to participate, that's five and under, we would absolutely love to have them. It's a special treat. Now we're going to shift into a time of worship together. So let's stand as we sing this great hymn of praise, How Great Thou Art. Let's sing this together.
Sorrow comes to steal the joy I know. close your eyes with me for just a moment? Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. Just you and the Lord with your eyes closed, sing to him. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. Are so great. We believe the scripture. We believe the truth. We've experienced it in our own lives. You are great. You are mighty. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Father, we thank you for your son, Jesus. We thank you that Jesus is the Son of Righteousness with healing in his wings. We thank you that Jesus is Messiah, Savior, King. We thank you that he is the Lord of hosts. Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the fact that you provide comfort, peace, rest, leading, power. God, I pray that today we would walk in the power of the Holy Spirit as he is at work sealing our salvation, as he is at work in our lives. Father, I ask that the Holy Spirit would speak to the hearts of every person in this room, every person who's participating online, every person who's listening on the radio. And Father, my prayer is that we would give you the praise and glory and honor you are due. You alone are worthy. In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated, friends, if you will. It's an honor to have you with us today. If you're a guest participating at home, please follow the prompts on the screen right now, and we would encourage you to connect with us. We would love to have a dialogue with you. It'll be through text, unless you would like to call, and you can do that as well, and we'll connect later. Thank you for that. For those that are in the room, if you're a guest, it's an honor to have you here. If you'll fill out the worship registration that's attached to the worship guide, hopefully you received when you came in. It's a little strip just like this. You can fill that out, and then if you'll place it in the offering box as you leave or hand it to me. I'll be right outside the door. We have a gift for you today, but we have a gift to send you in the mail. We're not going to come to your house unannounced, we promise, but we would love to mail you something, and so we hope that you will do so. Each week we pray for a different church and a different mission organization. Our church of the week this week is Hope Church of Albertville. It's a church right here not too far from us, and their pastor is Andrew Gregg, so we ask that you pray for them, that God will move in power among them today, that the gospel will be clearly proclaimed, that great and wonderful revival will take place among their congregation today. Our mission organization of the day that we're praying for is the Maker's Child. The Maker's Child Ministries is actually based out of our church, but it's a church for the entire community, for the entire county, really multiple counties, and they have a monthly respite night, but today is the first time ever they're trying a respite day. So it's this afternoon at Solitude Baptist Church, and I believe it's starts at 3 o'clock. And so be praying for them today for the respite time. For the, there'll be probably 70, 80, or 90 volunteers serving, and then a lot of children participants, and then their siblings there for that. So pray that all goes well. Pray for those families that will drop their kids off and will have a couple of hours to enjoy in different ways, and to have some might go shopping, some might go to eat, some might just enjoy a walk outside, whatever the case may be. Just pray that this will be a special time and the gospel will be clearly shared with those children, and they'll feel it and sense it from all the workers. Now, speaking of the Maker's Child, let me mention two things to you before we pray for them. One, don't forget that we are partnering with the Maker's Child to build the inclusive playground, special needs playground. It'll be used for all children of all abilities on the back part of our property across from the library. You may have noticed that the little dirt's already been cleared next to the bus barn. That's not the size of the playground. That is just for a pavilion that will have some picnic tables and some special restrooms that will be handicap accessible and set up in a great way for that. So that will be happening in the next couple of weeks, but in the next few months, the playground will come along and we're excited for that. The entire project costs $600,000, and so basically about halfway there in fundraising. So if you will pray that God will provide the rest of that that's needed. And I will tell you, there's one specific thing that we thought some of you might want to help with today. Because we are getting ready to have the pavilion in place out there, there are picnic tables, special ones that we want to purchase to help provide as a church to provide for that. And there's a picture, I believe, for you to see on the screen. And so these are designed to have, the picture is coming. It was there this morning, I promise. There we go. They're designed, you'll notice on the end, to have access for wheelchairs. And so you can have up to 3 wheelchairs there on the end of those. Those are about $1,000 a piece. So we thought we would throw out this morning and again in this service. Maybe you say, you know what, I want to sponsor one of those picnic tables. We need to have at least 6 of those that we can have out there for families to use year-round. So if you'd like to sponsor one, they're $1,000. If you would like to sponsor half of one, that's $500. A quarter of one is $250. What you get the math. And so whatever the case may be, if you want to do so, you can see one of us. You can put it in the offering box at some point, bring it this. It doesn't matter. We just thought it might be fun as a church to help fund those and make that happen. And I have been told they will not be red. They will be blue, in case you wanted to know. So that's what I've been told. So we're thankful for that and look forward to that as well. Let's pray together as we carry on in worship. Father God, I take a second to thank you for the Maker's Child. Thank you for that ministry. Thank you for how they are a blessing to many, many families. And God, my prayer is that today would be the best respite they've ever had. That the children would love their time in crafts and sensory rooms and music and Bible study and recreation and all the things that they will get to participate in. Father, my prayer is that the parents and caregivers will enjoy a time of respite for 2.5 to 3 hours. It will be a special time for them today. Father, I pray for all the volunteers and workers that they would be the hands and feet of Jesus, that they would look, respond, act, feel, love just like you. God, thank you for that. We know they're going to be blessed today for participating. God, we pray also for Andrew as he brings a message today at Hope Church, that you'll speak through him. Father, we pray for their congregation, that you might do a powerful work among them this week. Lord, that you'll bring revival, that you'll let that congregation continue to grow through the gospel's sake and for the gospel's sake. We pray that it would. Lord, I pray for every church in our city. Lord, that you would give us opportunities to, and in our county and in our region, our area, that they would proclaim truth today, that lives would be changed, that revival would take place. Father, I pray for the pastor that is going to stand and preach to 5 or 6 people today. Lord, whereas a small congregation might face some moments of discouragement, Lord, my prayer is that your Holy Spirit would move in power among them today. And God, that they would know it is not the size of the congregation that matters. It's not the seating capacity, it's the sending capacity. We will be sent on mission for you, whether there are 5 in the room or 500. And God, that we would realize that in our own context as well. Lord, that we would never think that gathering here on Sunday morning is the culmination of our week. This is the launching pad for our ministry and what we're called to do. So God, would you do that among each and every person in this room today? We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Guys, let's continue in worship. Let's stand together as we sing.
Light of eternity. Counselor.
5, it says this. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. In Christ alone, we place our trust. We sing that together this morning. In Christ alone.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand.
In Christ.
In Christ alone.
Christ alone that we stand. You are our firm foundation. You are our cornerstone. Father, my prayer is as we open your word that we would speak truth boldly here. Father, that you would work in our hearts and in our minds. And God, that every single person who has now worshiped you in truth and in spirit will now be changed by your truth and spirit. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Be seated, friends. Amen. Take your Bible. Please turn to 1 John. This is week 2 of our 5-week series called First in 5, where we will look at the 5 themes of 1 John. John wrote this short but powerful book to remind us of God's saving grace and that new life leads to new living. Would you say that with me? It's on the screen. New life leads to new living. One more time. It's not on the screen. Sorry, it was there. There we go. New life leads to new living. How say it with me? New life leads to new living. And so it's important. This is the theme of the entire book of 1 John. So we will pick up today where we left off last week in chapter 2, verse 7. 1 John chapter 2, verse 7. He says, "Beloved, I am writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard." So let's stop right there. What's the old commandment? Well, the best way to figure out when someone makes a statement like that, that you know what he's supposed to know what he's talking about, is to keep reading the context of the rest of the book. And what we come to understand through the rest of the book is that he's referring to really Leviticus 19:18, we're almost sure, which says this: "You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." So the Levitical law required them to love one another. Now, do you say, "Chris, how do you know that's the old commandment, love one another?" Well, John gives us a glimpse of it in 2 John. In 2 John, verse 5, he says this: "And now I ask you, dear lady, not as though I were writing you a new commandment, but the one we have had from the beginning, that we love one another." So there's your answer. The commandment, the old commandment, is to love one another. It is not, "Well, let's just try to get along." It is not, I'll do my best to tolerate, oh, so-and-so. How many of you, listen, have felt that way about someone? Don't point if they're in here, okay? But or this, it's not, "I'll love them, but I don't really like them." No, that's not. This idea of love one another is more than that. Let's keep reading in verse 8. He says, "At the same time, it is a new commandment that I'm writing to you." So he says it's an old commandment. And now he says, "But at the same time, it's a new commandment, which is true in him, Jesus, and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining." So John is saying this is an old commandment, love one another, but it's also new. And the reason it's new is because of Jesus. Jesus talks about this very thing in the book of John. You stay in 1 John, but in the book of John, chapter 13, verse 33, Jesus says this: "Little children." Now wait right there. Let me take a second. If you remember last week, I told you that you will find 7 times in the book of 1 John where John will call all of the believers who are reading this little children. He does it as a sign of a father with a child. He does it in an intimate relationship because he was going to share some hard truth. So where did John learn this from? Right here in John chapter 13. Jesus says it. He says, "Little children." And he goes on to say, "Yet a little while I am with you, you will seek me. And just as I said to the Jews, so now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot go. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you, for you also are to love one another. But by this all people will know that you're my disciples, if you have love for one another." So Jesus knows love one another is an old commandment. So how is he saying it's new? Don't miss it. The reason it's new is because Jesus is the example of how to love others. He says, "Just as I have loved you." That's what makes it new. They were having an Old Testament kind of love. And Jesus says, no, I want you to love like I love. I want you to love in grace and truth and wholeness. And so we learn that Jesus also says right here that people will know you are a genuine disciple if you love one another and how you love one another. Now listen, go back now to 1 John and let's look at the rest of that. 1 John 2:9. He says, whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there's no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. This is where we're going to park it for the next few minutes. There's two major ideas here from these verses, verse 9, 10, and 11. First of all, let me tell you, theologically, looking at the whole book of 1 John, John is not saying that all of these people were lost. In fact, he alludes to the fact that many of them knew the Lord. What do I mean? He says, if you hate their brother, well, you can't have a brother if you're not a brother or sister. And so the idea is that these were believers who were having hate in their heart or resentment toward other believers. And it says, if you do so, you walk in darkness. So the idea here is not really, are you saved or not? Although we'll get to that in a minute. The idea is for those believers who are having resentment and hate toward other believers, you're not useful. And let me share that with you for just a moment. If we are stumbling in the dark, if we're causing others to stumble, if we don't know where we're going, we will not be useful to the kingdom of God. Now that sounds strong, but I mean every word of it. If you're struggling with hate or difficulty, if you're struggling with resentment towards someone else, in that situation, in that relationship, you're not useful to the kingdom. And God wants us to walk in the light and be in the light. Let me help it make sense to you. I've told this story, but it's been a number of years since I told it back. It's been close to 25 years ago now. When I was the youth pastor here a long time ago, we had the 90s building. It was built in 1997, what we know as the venue, the atrium, the children's wing, and the unfinished area. And when the building first came around, if you're new since then, you wouldn't realize this, but there was no elevator. It was just a closet. They left the space so we could build an elevator. They were very wise in having it ready, but they just had a concrete floor and just had that there. And so it was all just there, no elevator shaft. It was just dirt there. In the concrete and a door. It was a closet. We were using it as a closet. Well, Lily and I, we went away on vacation. And while we were gone on vacation, they had a contractor come in, saw the concrete, bust it all up, take all the dirt out, put in an elevator shaft, close the door back, and not put a sign on the door that says, caution, big hole, look out, Chris, nothing. No sign at all on the door, just a closed door. So we came back. No one said, we did this, ha, ha, ha. And so we come back to church next Sunday. I get here very early. It's always been my habit of doing that. And I came in, it was dark, and I had to get something out of that closet. So I walk over to it, knowing that the light switch is across the closet. Why? That's where the power was on the backside. It wasn't going to be a closet. It was supposed to be an elevator, so they didn't put it by the door. So I walk in the dark, and I walk and take a step, and it's like the coyote cartoon, straight down. And so I quickly grab the handle of the door. The door swings open a little bit. I scrape my side. I scrape my thigh. I scrape my pride. Y'all know what I'm talking about? So I'm holding on, and I can't see. It's very dark. I'm stretched out completely, and I really think, how deep is this hole? I don't know how deep you make an elevator pit, you know, for one story, but I had no idea. And so I'm thinking, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And so I just begin to pray, Lord, help me. I'm going to have to just let go. God, help me. God, help me. God, help me. And I let go and I fall about that far. Just on my feet. The Lord, help me. The Lord, help me. Now, listen, it was horrible and I was scraped. I had to go home and change clothes. It was all nasty. But the truth is, in the dark, in that moment, I was stumbling. I was of no use to no one. So I want you to have that kind of thought in mind when you go back to what this scripture says, that if you hate your brother, you're in the dark. You're not useful. Stumbling's involved here. It's what it talks about. And we can't be useful for the kingdom of God. And that's what he wants us to be. So the idea here really is about being useful. And I would put it this way if you're writing things down. If we have hate for other believers, we are not useful for the kingdom of God. Now we'll talk about hate in just a moment. But basically, we need to understand that we should love others like Jesus and want to come to know them like Jesus knows them. If you go back to the Gospel of John, stay in 1 John, but if you go back to the Gospel of John in verse 35, Jesus said this, "By this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." Jesus says 2,000 years ago that people will know you're a legitimate disciple of mine by how you love other believers. Now those are strong words, friends. And if that's not enough, Jesus doubles down on this four chapters later when he's praying. In John chapter 17, verse 20, Jesus is praying and he prays and he says, "Father, may these," praying for people that would believe in him, "may they be one just as you and I are one, so that the world will know that you have sent me." Jesus says, not only will how you love other believers prove that you're a real believer, he says it will also show and prove your unity with other believers. It will show that I am really the Messiah. That's what the world will believe. And friends, I have to tell you, sadly, we all have seen how 1 John and John have come true. And there are many people in this world who do not believe that the church is genuine, and they do not believe that Jesus is who he says he is, because they see how Christians treat each other and the world. That's sad, but it is true. The unbelieving world simply finds us unbelievable. So they don't believe us because of how they see sometimes believers treating each other. So the question is for you, you may say, "Well, how do I know if I'm hating or loving? How do I know which it is?" Well, let's talk about what hate looks like and what love looks like. Let's start with hate. We'll make our way to love really quickly. So when we read this passage in 1 John, how do we apply it to our lives? First of all, three things I would say about hate. This is very obvious in life, and I think you won't disagree, that hate shows up in racism and prejudice toward others. We live in a world that can fall into racism very easily. It can fall into prejudice very easily. If I had a dollar for every time somebody came up to me and said, "Now, I'm not a racist, but," and then they said something racist, I could fund those playground picnic tables myself. The reality is many times people will say, "I'm not racist," right before they make a racist statement. Now, there are exceptions to that, but I'm going to be honest, not many. And so racism can be prevalent even among believers, and prejudice, it can just be there. And it is a natural bent and tendency in a fallen world. And so all of us, including myself, need to work on that. And we need to work on the fact that we want to see others as Jesus sees them and love others as Jesus loves them and respond to others as Jesus responds to them. So I encourage us in that way. The second idea is this: hate shows up in bitterness and resentment toward others. Listen, bitterness, it's a mighty work of the devil, but it's such a simple work of the flesh. It works in our lives. We can become so bitter. And you may say, "Well, Chris, I've just got a little secret bitterness towards my spouse. Or I've got a little secret bitterness towards a friend, or for something that happened, or a neighbor, or a coworker, or a school board member, or a teacher, or an employer, or a fellow church member." I don't know. All I can say to you is this: if you've got bitterness and resentment towards someone who is another believer, then understand you're walking in darkness, according to the scriptures. That's truly what I believe. And so we want to work on being useful for the kingdom. You say, "Well, how in the world do I get rid of this resentment, this bitterness I've got?" You pray and you ask God to help, and then you make a plan of how to walk through that and let God help you with that. Next, hate shows up in selective judgment towards others. Listen, sin is sin. All sin is sin. There's no way around it. We have come to a day and age where certain sin we've stopped calling sin. But please understand that that didn't change. Sin does not have an expiration date. Somebody say amen. If it was sin 1,000 years ago, it's sin today. Do you believe that? Well, I'm not. Do you believe it? I believe that. If it's sin yesterday, it's going to be sin tomorrow. And so we've come to the place with, in some ways, we've quit calling things sin that is sin. But in other ways, as believers, we pick out and we're selective with our sin management and how we feel about things. And what I mean is this: we might protest certain sins because we don't struggle with that, but we overlook other things because it's maybe more of a struggle for us. Listen, I've been there as well. I don't like to protest and speak out about the things that I struggle with. Because I struggle just like the rest of us. But here's what I would tell you. If you are being selective in what you protest and struggle with as sin, then honestly, that's more an issue of your heart than of the one who is committing the sin. And I'm talking to myself too, okay? I'm talking to all of us here. It's heavy, I know, but that's the reality. So hate can come in many forms, and it can look hate towards other brothers. We can be very selective and judgmental in certain ways and not in others. It can be with resentment or bitterness towards a family member or friend who's still your brother or sister in Christ. It could be that it shows up in racism or prejudice or any number of ways. So that's enough about hate. You get the point. Let's talk about love. What does the love of Jesus look like? Several scriptures that show us this really easily. First of all, the love of Jesus shows up in humility. The love of Jesus shows up in humility. Philippians 2, 3 through 4 says, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others." If we're going to love like Jesus, we'll put others first, and we'll come from a position of humility. Now, that's not always easy, but that's exactly what we will do. Second, the love of Jesus shows up in actions over words. Love is not something that we say with our words. We talked about this in our Sunday school small group this morning. We throw that word love around like it's nothing. I love college football. I love donuts. I love this. I love cool weather. It's all great, but then you start the same phrase. Well, I love my neighbor. How do you equate those? And so we made it such a commonplace term we use that we forget the idea that love is not words. I tell my children I love them every day. I tell my wife I love her multiple times a day, I believe. But it's just words. If there's not action to back that up. We all have been in a place where someone has told us they love us time and time again, and their actions show that they do not have a concern or care for us. And so you know when you hear it, it does not mean as much to you. We understand that. So understand as believers, when we have the love of Jesus, it will always involve action. It will always involve our hands and our feet more than our mouths. Always. And so we seek to love others through actions. And so I want to encourage you to consider how we might have the love of Jesus among others. And then lastly, I could give a dozen, but I'll just give three. The love of Jesus is birthed in the gospel. It's birthed in grace. It's birthed in redemption. 1 John 3:16. Now, before I read it, let me say this. I love that John, the beloved, wrote the Gospel of John and 1 John. He wrote the Gospel of John earlier, and a few years later wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and then along came Revelation. And so of these five books that he wrote, in John, we have the verse 3:16 where he writes down a quote from Jesus that he hears Jesus say. This idea, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life." It's the most famous verse known to man. Probably 99% of us in the room could quote it today. 99% of the people listening on the radio could quote it today. John 3:16. Now, in 1 John 3:16, it says this, and it ties in so well. It says, "This is how we know what love is, that Jesus Christ laid down his life for us." Don't you love how John 3:16 talks about what love is, and 1 John 3:16 says, "This is how you know what love is." I've talked a lot about love in this whole book of 1 John, he says, but let me tell you what love really is, that Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers as well. Now, what's interesting is, John didn't put verses and numbers on that, remember? It wasn't until a few hundred years later that someone came along and added chapters and verse numbers. And so in the wisdom of man, whoever came up with that, I think it's beautiful to know that God had a hand in all of that, and that John 3:16 is about the love God has for us, and 1 John 3:16 is for us to understand what our definition of love should be. And so those two are married together. And so this idea that we can love like Jesus if we do so in a gospel and redemptive way. So, let me ask, if you had to put yourself under the hate or love category, not out loud, don't raise your hand, just in your heart, where would you be? And I know that's maybe not a fair question because honestly, you're dealing with a lot of different people in a lot of different circumstances, but I'm talking specifically about other believers right now. And so maybe if there's a little resentment toward a spouse, towards a friend, toward a relative, a parent, a child, neighbor, someone that you know knows the Lord, someone in authority in our city, or I don't know, whatever the case may be, can I encourage you to stop and ask God to work in your heart over that, to ask him to help you not to walk in darkness, but to walk in the light, to take what is a little root of bitterness and turn it into a way to pray for that person, and then put your feet and hands to action, but maybe some act of kindness to begin to sow that back into your heart, the love that you ought to have for other brothers. I would encourage you to stop and examine your life and what that means for you, hate or love. But I said there were two ways to take and interpret what we've read here in 1 John chapter 2. And I do believe it's for believers. But I also believe the overarching theme here as well would be this. You cannot love like Jesus if you do not know Jesus. I'm going to say it again. If you don't know Jesus, everything I'm telling you is really not going to come easily or supernaturally in your life because Jesus has not done the supernatural work in your life. And so I want to start with this. I talked to believers for a little bit. Now let me talk to you if you've never given your life to Jesus. You may be the oldest person in the room who's been here for 50 years, but you're not certain you have Christ in your life. You might be brand new for the first time today. You may be listening on the radio looking for a country song and you found this instead. That's not a coincidence. Let me just take a moment and share the truth with you, how you can know for certain that you have Jesus. It goes back to the verse I shared earlier, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world," put your name in the world, "that he gave his only son, Jesus, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life." What does it mean to perish? It means to be separated from God for eternity. So what does that mean and how does that work? Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned," all, "and fall short of the glory of God." If you've sinned, raise your hand. All right, if you haven't sinned, raise your hand. Oh, you're lying? Okay, we talked about that last week. We already been through this. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We fall short of God's perfection. Do you know anyone who thinks they're perfect? Again, don't point. If you do know someone who thinks they're perfect, let's be honest. You don't want to be around them for long. Maybe in short doses. But can you imagine, just imagine with me, a holy, righteous, perfect, all-consuming God? We could not be in his presence. So it says, because for all have sinned and fall short of God's glory, his perfection. Romans 6:23 says, "The wage of our sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life." The price for our sin, what we paid for the fact that we have sinned, is death. And that's spiritual death. It's not you go to the grave and die and you never to exist again. That's not what it means. That does not exist for anyone. We are all alive from this point forward. The moment you are born, you are alive for all eternity. We will either spend life eternally separated from God or eternally with God. And it starts with new life with him right here on this earth. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The wage of sin is death. The gift of God's eternal life. What's the gift? It goes back to John, what we read last week. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord, we can be saved. We confess our sins. He makes us new in him. So what does that mean and how does that work? Well, here's the simplest way to think about it. Picture in your mind the cross. And Jesus places every sin you've ever committed on the cross with him. Not even the ones you've committed, but the ones you have yet to commit that you will. All of them. Puts them on the cross. He dies. Those sins die too. 3 days later, he comes back to life. Jesus is the only one to die with your sin. He's the only one to come back to life in spite of your sin. He's the only one that can forgive you of your sin. So if you're here today and you're just not certain you have Jesus right now, don't wait to the invitation. Don't wait to the end. In your own words, just stop in your mind and in your heart and say, Jesus, I know you died for me. I know I have sinned. I need your salvation. I need your grace. I want new life with you. Commit your life to him. Listen, friends, I would encourage you, implore you to do that today. So if you've never given your life to him, today's the day. If you do know him, would you stop and examine, am I walking in the light as he is in the light? Am I somehow walking in the darkness and stumbling around a little bit? What do I need to do to make that right? Would you bow your heads with me for just a moment? The head bowed is just for a little moment of privacy. Remember, salvation changes people. New life leads to new living. So if there's no change in your life at all, I would really encourage you to examine if you need Jesus or not. And then for those of us that have been changed by him and we're seeking to live for him and honor him, is there any area of darkness? Is there some resentment or hate or prejudice or difficulty towards someone that you're struggling with? And I think the scripture is pretty clear that that means you're going to be fairly unuseful to the kingdom in seeing that situation resolved until you can come before the Lord and ask him to take away that bitterness, that resentment, that anger, whatever the case may be. Maybe it's toward a family member or friend. Maybe it's toward a stranger. Maybe it's toward an entire group of people. I don't know. But I'm just asking you privately in the Lord, if you need to deal with it, would you do so at your seat? Would you ask God to work in your heart, to let you see people as he sees them, to let you see that one person that you struggle with as he sees them? Would you ask him to give you a plan of how you can practically seek to love them like Jesus loved them and to ask God to let you walk in that light again? Maybe you want to come here and pray for someone you know is struggling in this way, or maybe you're praying for yourself or you have another prayer need. Would you come? I'll pray with you too. Maybe you have a decision to make today. Maybe God's calling you to unite with our faith family. I don't know what he's telling you to do. Maybe you just gave your life to the Lord. So with your heads bowed, I don't normally do this, but I am going to, and this is, I want you to know, because I don't normally do it this way, that you can trust me, that I'm not going to embarrass you or point you out. But if, when we talked about giving your life to Jesus earlier, and I encourage you to pray in your heart and mind to ask him to forgive you, to save you, to bring salvation to you and make you new, if you did that, I want to pray for you. I will not embarrass you or point you out. I just want to pray. So with every head bowed, if you don't mind, if that was you and you prayed to give your life to the Lord, or you settled it because you were having some doubts, would you just shoot your hand up really high? Let me see that right now. Anyone at all? Okay, I see it. Thank you. Father, I pray for this one. Lord, I pray they could settle that in their mind and in their heart, because you are the giver of life. And God, it is no special words that we come up with on our own. It is you bringing salvation and new life to us. God, it is us deciding in our heart to repent, to change our mind, to change our direction. Lord, we will not walk in perfection in that, but oh, to know that you hold us in your hand. Oh, to know that you hold on to us. Thank you for that. God, I pray for every believer in this room that we would not walk in darkness in certain situations, but that we could walk in the light in all relationships and in all circumstances. So God, any one of those areas that we've got a little darkness there because of hate, because of resentment or anger, or because of prejudice, God, I pray that right now your Holy Spirit would shine a bright spotlight into our soul for each of us to see. Lord, that's private for us, but God, I pray you do that so that we can walk in the light. We want to walk in the light. God, we want to love people as you love them. Help us with that now. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to sing. If you want to come and pray.
You've been listening to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. For more information, please call 256-878-2291 or visit www.albertvillefbc.org. We hope you will join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB.